You have 5 new messages.
Hey, Carl, it's Jen from Finance. Could you submit your expenses this week?
Hey, Carl, happy Friday. It's Jen, Finance. Just need those receipts today.
Me again, Carl. Really need those receipts, like last week. Please just tell me where they are. Are you by your desk right now?
Finance teams, you shouldn't be chasing down Carl or anyone else. With Ramp, expenses are sent with a text and reminders happen automatically. Switch your business to ramp.com today and love finance again.
You have 5 new messages.
Hey, Carl, it's Jen from Finance. Could you submit your expenses this week?
Hey, Carl, happy Friday. It's Jen, Finance. Just need those receipts today.
Me again, Carl. Really need those receipts, like last week. Please just tell me where they are. Are you by your desk right now?
Finance teams, you shouldn't be chasing down Carl or anyone else. With Ramp, expenses are sent with a text and reminders happen automatically. Switch your business to ramp.com today and love finance again.
I got stuff for you.
Holy moly.
I need to get some snakes and release them around my house.
But I love eating people. I love eating kids.
These guys are the scientists of the supernatural, lecturers leaving lessons for inquiring laymen. They are applying the scientific method to a world that baffles science. They are the cryptids of the corn.
Every day that you open your mouth,
I know, right?
I'm more convinced that you're abducted by aliens.
No.
And it just stood up. I mean, it just like kept going and going. And she goes, what the?
These are idiots.
I was laughing reading this because I already knew how you would feel.
Idiot. What part of the story fits your balloon?
Well,
this isn't a UFO. Yeah.
But who else has big black wings and red eyes?
Batman.
Well, Mothman.
Oh, yeah, Mothman.
Well, everyone, I think we know exactly what it is. So say it all with me. It was the Sandhill Crane.
Would you try it?
No.
You wouldn't eat it?
No.
Why?
Because they're probably toxic. There'd be a lot of poop in my pants. Seeing a 6-foot alligator go swinging through the air and slam into a tree.
Uh-oh. Are you mad?
Welcome back to Cryptids of Corn Podcast.
Oh, shoot.
I am the great and powerful mystery!
And I'm Jay Clone 81.
And we're just so happy to have you guys back here with us.
What was that laugh, though?
I don't know. It's been a while since we've done listener stories.
Oh.
So we got some listener stories. Before that, I'm going to try to run through this stuff. I don't have those written down. The book is actively on sale as of... No, maybe not. I don't know. The book comes out November 25th. You can get it at cryptidscorn.com.
The book being Living UFOs, The Ocean Above Our Heads, A Study of Atmospheric Biology by Justin England, a.k.a. Mr. E.
By Mr. E. But yeah, so if you guys would like to get a copy of that, you want it signed, you can get it from cryptidscorn.com under the tab that says books. Because, hint, there are more books coming. Several different types of books, as a matter of fact.
Ooh.
But yeah, if you guys want to get that, go right ahead. We appreciate it greatly. Let's see what else. Crypticon, I cannot remember the date of these things. So if it's this weekend, we're super excited to see you guys. Remember to let us know, send us a message on Facebook or Instagram. We'll try to keep everybody updated that we do hangouts on Friday and Saturday night.
And if it was last weekend,
we had so much fun with you guys. Thank you guys for turning out and having a ball. Crypticon's always a fun one with us because we get to hang out with you guys a ton.
I'm sure our review episode will be coming out next week or the week after.
Sometime.
Sometime soon.
We're actually pretty far pre-recorded.
Yeah.
Because we have weeks we're taking off here upcoming soon-ish.
Mm-hmm.
I'm kind of lost in the scheduling as far as what week X episode's coming out.
We're just trying to get ahead for the holiday season.
Yeah, because we have a lot of really, really cool, exciting stuff happening.
And you know what would make a great stocking stuffer?
Huh.
A book.
The book.
Or some garlic dust.
Or some garlic dust.
Yeah.
Which that'll come up in a little bit. I think that's pretty much all that. Patreon, if you want to get more content and even hangouts and early access to live show tickets, get on Patreon. Speaking of live show tickets, the live show for North Little Rock, Arkansas, with Drunken Cryptids, those tickets are on sale right now.
Actively.
It's April 5th in North Little Rock at Ole Bart's. Not old. And it's just the northern accent. I can't do it.
Ole?
Ole.
They got good barbecue and good fun.
But you can get tickets for that if you go to the website, cryptidscorn.com, and go into the live show tab. There'll be a link for the tickets there. But yeah, tickets are very limited on our live shows. We'll be announcing two more live shows here soon. One should be in Tennessee and one will be in Ohio. We'll probably do two in Ohio next year. So yeah, if you want to come out and hang out with us for a couple hours and get a live podcast and some all kinds of exciting stuff, there you go.
Sounds like fun.
Yeah. The thing with live shows, why I like them a lot more, or I like them, I enjoy them, is we can show video aspects of stuff we just don't get to normally do.
Right, yeah.
And because there's tons and tons of videos of cool stuff that we like, well, look at this. This is a direwolf.
People can see you actually talking with your hands, too.
Oh, gosh. I'm very animated.
Yeah.
It's very hard to hold the phone or the iPad. but, yeah, I think that's pretty much it. So there you go. Skip ahead to 5 minutes in if you want to hear the actual information in the episode. I seen another one of those comments.
Oh, yeah. We were supposed to do that, like, at the beginning.
Oh. How do I know?
Not after the 5 minutes is already up.
Yeah,
just go ahead and skip to right now if you're
right now. Start clapping. Yeah. Idiots. We're idiots.
Okay.
I think that's it. You're working on a new studio. Actually, by the time this comes out, the new studio may be pretty close to being complete as far as moving in stuff and painting.
Yeah, it might be.
I just talked to your mom for a little bit with her schedule. I like her scheduling.
What, just
do it.
Rushing everything?
Yeah.
It's like, oh,
you guys, well... Technically, it was supposed to be done before Atlas was born, and I've had two more kids since then.
Hmm. Yeah, well, and we're really diving in the details here. I think you might be getting lost.
Oh, yeah.
And some of the...
All right. You ready for some encounters?
Yeah. So these are listener-submitted encounters?
Yes, yes.
Emailed to us?
Yeah.
And then... CryptidsOfTheCornPodcast@gmail.com?
Yes. So if you have any of those and you want to email them to us, please use that. CryptidsOfTheCornPodcast@gmail.com, all lowercase.
That's right.
All one word. And I have a whole bunch of Dogman ones I'm saving for a special episode. So just so you guys know, I know a couple of listeners that submitted Dogman. You know, that's why we're not doing yours right now, is I'm saving them for a special Dogman episode.
Exciting.
So anonymous. These two are going to be anonymous. I got a really, really weird one for you. Me and my little stepbrother and my dad were out hunting one day in the fall. It was a beautiful day in the spring. There was a hangout by my dad's pickup truck, all decked out for fishing. All of our fishing gear was put away in the back seat, just having a good time doing some father-son bonding. This was in the spring of that year. I had gotten the weekend off of work for once. My little stepbro was home for the weekend from college and to hang out with old dad and me. I was watching TikToks on my phone. My stepbrother was playing Clash of Clans on his phone. My dad was enjoying the time outdoors. We're hanging out by the back of the truck, just BSing. A cooler full of fish in the back. It was a pretty good day of fishing. So anyways, this guy and his son approach us on the dock, saying that they were having a super bad day while fishing, and asked if he could buy one of our bigger fish. The guy looked like your typical dad out for a fishing trip. He looked to be of an Arabic gentleman. Big, bushy black beard, dad glasses, bald head, big belly, jolly demeanor. And just wearing every kind of fishing clothes, accessory imaginable. His son was slender young, who was in a sleek with shaggy black hair and the emo type haircut around. He was around my stepbrother's age in the baggy jeans in a Johnny Goldbert hoodie. His nose was buried into an iPad. So my dad was feeling bad for the guy and gave him our two largemouth bass we'd caught. And he had caught a good bit. We could spare some. He told him he could just keep his money and take the fish. This guy thanked my dad, asked if there's anything he could do to repay his kindness. All he had to do was ask for something. So my dad said he didn't want anything, but would love if he could get my stepbrother's college ball team to win a game. They were having a really bad season so far. And he was joking.
Right.
In a joking manner. The guy hesitated for a minute before speaking again. He said not to worry, as my brother's next game, he would be the MVP and they'd win 15-5. He could promise that much, at least, he said. My dad, having a good lighthearted chuckle at it, thanking the guy for his kind words, he was briefly turned our backs to help my dad get the fish cooler back into the truck. And when we turn around, the man and his son were completely gone without a trace. You know, my stepbrother's next college ball game They actually won 15-5. I kid you not. And my stepbrother had a perfect game. He was the MVP.
Wow.
So, yeah, there you go. And he goes on to talk a little more. They had five runs. His brother had a horrible season and just absolutely smoked the next game.
MVP.
Yeah.
I'm looking up a quote right now. What is it that entertain angels unaware?
That's what, oh, dang it.
What?
I have the same thing.
Ah, see, we're both on the same wave here.
It talks about the Bible, but other places specifically, where it talks about you may be on, always treat everybody as if they're an angel, but basically because there can be angels all around us and you'll never know it.
Here, I got the King James Version.
Thank you.
Hold up. Do not forget to entertain strangers, for by so doing, some may have unwittingly entertained angels.
Yeah. So that's a point, the angels in disguise.
Right.
So in the Arabic is interesting to me because, you know, a Hebrew religion, you know, the Arabics.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
That's the where the, you know, the Bible, the Abrahamic religions, that's their, you know.
Oh, okay. I can see, yeah.
That's where they're from.
Yeah. It could also, too, be, what state was this in again?
He didn't say.
Okay. I mean, just depending. I mean, obviously, it's a modern story with the iPads, yeah, and the
this modern happened just, I think, last year.
Right. Yeah. It sounds like it's very relevant to today. You know, there's a lot of tension too with political crap and bull crap. You know, some people may see someone that looks like that or dressed like that and be like caught off guard at first, and, you know, may not want to help or, you know, be as helpful. So that could have been a test as well, just testing people and, you know, just being as kind as you were, you being rewarded that way. I don't know. That's pretty interesting.
It's also the entry to Beauty and the Beast 2 is the same thing.
Is it?
Yeah. You didn't know that?
Wait, Beauty and the Beast 2 or?
No, the
Beauty and the Beast also.
Beauty and the Beast also.
Okay, okay. So what happened?
Remember, he was super, like, the lady was out in the cold, tried to sell a flower.
Yeah.
He was super mean to her, and it ended up being an angel.
Yeah, and she turned him into the Beast, mm-hmm, didn't she?
Cursed everybody, yeah.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
But no, you got the same thing. Immediately when I heard this story, I was thinking of the angels in disguise thing.
Right, yeah.
Especially, he goes into talk about the trail, you know, that when they turned around, they were
gone. Yeah.
And they could see for a distance.
With that saying and stuff, I mean, I think people need to, should be aware of that at all times. Because
you should just treat everybody with kindness.
Exactly. That's what it boils down to. Just
until you're not, you know.
Because you don't know, you don't know what people are going through, what
100%.
What their stage in their life is and what trials and tribulations they're dealing with at the current moment. But sometimes people will come up to you and they're at, you know, they're not at the best time in their life or the best part of their day when you approach someone. So that's not always, your first impression isn't, it's always the most important, but it's not like everything of what that person is going through. Sometimes they just do need some kindness to pull them out of that negative energy space that they're projecting out from them. I don't know.
So, yeah.
Interesting stuff. Be kind to strangers. Be kind to people.
Very interesting story.
Yeah.
I think you were entertaining an angel. We did Angels in the Cornfield. I don't even remember what season that was in. But we talked about a lot of those stories where, yeah, something very strange like that had happened.
Yeah. Oh, very good story. Thank you, Anonymous, for sending that, sharing that with us.
Yeah.
Enjoyed that.
Another Anonymous, which I have their names. I just asked to remain anonymous.
Right, yeah.
The email reads, "Hey, Justin and Jay, I wouldn't consider myself a super long-term listener, but I did find your podcast via Merkle Media with your episode discussing atmospheric fungi a year or so ago, and, well, the rest is history. I've gone back and listened to all of season 3, maybe even some of season 2, but I couldn't go back any further. Not because the content wasn't great, the audio quality, and I say this with much respect and love, could have been a tiny bit better."
Yep.
We know.
You are, that is,
no,
correct.
We do not take offense.
No, we didn't know what we were doing.
We were basically recording on a shoebox.
Yes.
I've been meaning to reach out to you due to my wife, subsequent, and our two little ones, a 3-year-old and a 14-month-old. Is, now I'm going to try to say this, Barakinji, Bob. Okay. And that's a type of Australian First Nation people whose country was ran by the Willikane in the north. So we're talking about Aboriginals.
Right.
Australian First Nations. And there's going to be a lot of Australian, native Australian words that I'm going to try to pronounce.
So we apologize
in advance.
So
I apologize to everybody. Along the eastern banks of the Barakah River, the Darling River in the colonial language, a.k.a. English. So it's the if you were looking up on a map, it's going to be probably the Darling River. But the Barakah, I think is how it's pronounced in the Aboriginal. It's to the west. And Wentworth to the south, out of the prehistoric lands of Lake Mungo in the east. These lands are varied and beautiful, and are full of stories of hatred and loss, theft and murder. From the remains of the Mungo man and the Mungo women, who first began to rewrite of the Out of Africa timeline, to the mass murders along the routes of the outback towns in Ivrahoa, in Punkinari, the Barakanjui lands hold many, many stories as the Anglo-Saxons. I have only just started to learn about and uncover this history. Perhaps if I start with the timeline, I'm sure Jay would be across the radiocarbon dating technology regarding. You might consider amending in your discussions around Australians and Indigenous people. So this is one thing me and you talked about off air.
Yeah, yeah.
Is that I didn't know this was such a big deal. I'm not going to read this word for word because I think we're going to do a full episode into this. This part of it.
Okay.
But I just wanted to say that there's this big common timeline that Australians have only been there for, Native Australians, the Aboriginals, the Native Australians, have been there for 40,000 years, roughly. 40,000, something like that. Now, that follows an out-of-Africa timeline. So we may do a whole episode on the out-of-Africa timeline.
Debunking it?
Well, just talking about it in general, because I think a lot of people maybe not even understand what that term means.
Okay.
Because it's like one of those textbook terms that everybody kind of glances over.
Right, yeah.
I mean, if we weren't doing this kind of stuff, like, I have a guess by what it means, you know, just from hearing the word.
Right.
But actually, until you dive into it and see some stuff.
What does it actually mean?
So, there are several, basically he goes into saying there are several major sites that are able to be proven that they date back to around 60,000 to 70,000 years.
Mm.
So that's a big difference right there.
Yeah, it's already doubled, like immediately.
Yeah, you know, 30,000 years older.
Mm-hmm.
And there's even some, he goes into, you know, some sites that are 80,000 years. There's even one site that is 120,000 years old.
Wow.
Now, this is the same thing we talk about with Native Americans here in America, is there's this dogma in the dating that they don't look past X date.
Right.
So they don't find Native American artifacts past X date because they don't look past X date.
Because no one lived here before that time.
And I think a big thing with it is probably like digging rights, mining rights, you know, building and stuff like that. They don't want to have to stop every 10 seconds, which they should for historical, you know, narratives.
Because like, we don't know where we came from.
For cultural importance.
We don't know.
So I think the same thing, he goes in to talk about a huge fight that a lot of these people are having with this kind of timeline. So this would completely disrupt at least the Australian part of the out of Africa theory.
Like the conventional timeline.
The conventional timelines. And there's some genetic profiles that are dealing with the Australians versus the out of Africa theory that do not make a lot of sense.
Mm-hmm.
Just because like I don't know if it's systemic racism in anthropology, which I just heard your favorite guy, Tyson, Neil deGrasse.
No, that's your favorite, remember?
Yeah. No, but he was talking about anthropology was probably the most racist science ever.
Anthropology.
What'd I say?
Anthropology.
Anthropology.
Yeah.
Anthropology is probably the most racist science ever. And when he was talking about it, it made a lot of sense because it's inherently – and, you know, I don't like the guy, but he does. I do think he does make good points every once in a while.
Every once in a while, yeah.
But I don't, you know, I don't care for him. I think he's very high and mighty.
Smarmy.
Yeah, smarmy. So there is points that, especially during, you know, we've talked about this episode, this show a lot, of like this 1800 systemic racism in like, oh, the natives are dumb.
Right, yeah.
You know, the natives are dumb people. So with is it right?
Yeah.
Anthropology. Is that you put yourself on top, or at least they used to. They, you know, in the original studies of it, they put themselves as the smartest culture.
Like the victors of
like
war.
Like the British that started.
Right, you know, history, yeah.
Oh, history's written by the winners or whatever.
Yes.
But like for example, South America. You know, nobody could believe that during the same time of London, that South America had a city that was four times the size.
Right. Ain't that nuts?
And, you know, it had very, very many cultural, like, they were extremely intelligent. They had so much cultural development. They had so much agricultural development. They had literally had giant testing facilities for agriculture.
No.
Oh,
the
gosh.
Seeds.
The seeds.
Seeds, Not that Flint Dibble. That's Flint my Flint Dibble impression.
So I think it's, I just don't, I never knew about the same thing with the Native Australians.
Okay.
So this, like I said, this is fully episode worthy, 100%. You know, we could really dive into this.
Basically boiling it down, their history is probably a lot older than what modern academia claims.
Yeah. Yeah. And I just wanted to say that because you, I think it was probably 2 or 3 weeks ago you guys heard the Monsters That Made Us part two when we talk about Megalania.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I used the 40,000 year date a lot.
Yeah.
So now looking into this, I know that's probably not correct, but, you know, didn't know it at the time.
Right. But we're here to get things right.
Yeah.
What matters at the end is the truth.
Yeah. So it's very interesting. And like I said, we'll probably do full episode on it, you know, somewhere, shape or form, because it's definitely worthy of it.
I'm interested in diving in or learning about more about this.
I mean, we've talked about it from everything. It ties into giants. It ties into all this stuff. Because we talk about that a lot, that the timeline has been rewritten 100 times. We'll probably do it in the Time Council episode.
Okay. Ooh, the Time Council.
Yeah, because they're real.
I know they are. We covered it on the Smithsonian episode.
No, we covered it on the Living Dinosaurs season finale.
Yes. That's right. You're right.
Because they are the ones that talk about geological dating.
We tied them to the Smithsonian.
Yeah. I mean, they're probably. I said they're probably the guys above.
Yeah.
Okay. You ready for some his personal stories?
Yeah. Yeah.
The Muckawudge. While you might not be familiar with the term, it is uncannily similar to the name you might know by the North American stories, the Puckwudgies.
Oh, okay.
So that's the only reason I pronounce it the way I pronounce it.
Right.
Is because it's not really spelled like, it's spelled a little bit like Puckwudgie. But Puckwudgie, if you didn't know how to pronounce it, is also
odd.
A very odd word to look at. These are little hairy fellows that are cheeky and mischievous. We believe one might even have followed my daughter around as she tells us of seeing a little hairy thing that hides from us and peeks out to scare her when it's dark. It's terrifying as a parent not being able to clobber something or someone or something with a cricket bat as you would like. You ever seen a cricket bat, right?
Oh, yeah.
They're flat. They look like...
It's like a big paddle.
Yeah. These little fellows are present in the... Bark and Jewy, I've said it different every time I've read it.
I think
culture.
So.
It having no cause little things to go missing, general tomfoolery, and they can even cause physical harm. I was told stories of these little blokes and how not to talk about them because it causes them to appear. Now, before I could keep reading, very, very, very Puckwudgie-esque.
It's the same. It's literally the same description.
And what have we talked about with the Fae on, you know, the Fae around the world?
Sally from finance loves fly fishing. She used to spend her weekend surrounded by receipts. Then she switched her company to Ramp. Now, spend is all under control, all in one place. Her team submits their expenses with a text, and she can close the books without all the busy work. So Sally's weekends are all her own, surrounded by fish, not receipts. Switch your business to ramp.com and love finance again. You've done it again, finance teams. You closed the books, and it went fine. Sure, some expenses were missing receipts, but that's fine. Stayed late to process invoices by hand. It's all fine. But don't you deserve better than fine? With Ramp, expenses are submitted with a text, invoices are coded automatically, and everything is connected to your accounting system, so you can close the books without all the busy work. Switch your business to ramp.com and love finance again.
Americans love using their credit cards, the most secure and hassle-free way to pay. But D.C. politicians want to change that with the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill. This bill lets corporate megastores pick how your credit card is processed, allowing them to use untested payment networks that jeopardize your data security and rewards. Corporate megastores will make more money, and you pay the price. Tell Congress to guard your card, because Americans lose when politicians choose. Learn more at guardyourcard.com.
What? It's probably the same thing,
it's like
but just...
It's the same thing with different words.
Their own regional... Their own...
what's the word?
Just their own names for things.
Yeah, but I was thinking more, you know, each area has its own, like, kind of phenotype.
Cultural influence.
Cultural dimorphism.
My wife's auntie was notorious for scaring the poop out of everyone and everything. She told me a story from her nephew, who now he didn't believe strongly enough, and the little guys got him to teach him a lesson. Yep, typical story. Scared the fresh meat, especially because he was white as vanilla cream. Well, a few days later, I was out for the first time meeting my wife's cousin. I asked him straight up. Clear as day, I remember his expression darkening. Seriousness fell all over his face. He fishes out another beer, passes me one, and cracks open another one for himself. Are you sure you want to hear about this? Was the look he was giving me. He began. He explained to me how after a big night of cans, which if you knew him, he would make Justin's drinking look like a teenager with his first five-pack. I had crushing out of his swag. Staying up near the Mullady Lakes, he thought he was probably shouldn't sleep outside because of reports of these little fellows being up to no good with severely several pickled states. So basically, when you're drunk out there, they'll come and get you.
Okay.
Plus his general disagree, he crashed out. Later that night, though, he woke up feeling something tugging on his legs. Not great. If you wake up drunk and there's something tugging on your legs.
It's like that little raccoon that was under your chair the one time, tugging on your leg.
Pulling him out of his swag.
Okay, never mind. That's a bit more.
Which I think is a tent.
A swag?
Yeah. From what I looked up, I think it's a tent or a sleeping bag.
Okay.
Okay, so now at this point, Indigenous Australians love to tell ghost stories. It ties back to their long history of spoken oral traditions, especially talking about their ancestors, and practically love scaring the poop out of white boys, especially skeptics like he used to be. So Nigel, he continues, describing being pulled out of his swag as he kicks and swears like a pirate, fighting the buggers off. His legs were all scratched up. He isn't getting back to sleep, so he rolls up in the swag, chucks it in the ute, and goes to find somewhere else to crash for the night.
So he's out of there.
At this point, nodding along, entertaining by his story, thinking, I'm not scared of this easily, until he pulls up his jeans, showing his legs, seeing a few days ago before he could tell, it looked like the marks of a small child's nails running down his lower parts of his legs, scratching him all up. So his legs were covered in just tiny scratches, like a kid had done it.
Yeah, that's crazy.
It's Australia, so yeah.
Could be anything.
I believe they're there.
It could be anything, really.
And then, okay, you ready for a Min Min story?
Oh, wait, was that it?
Yeah.
Oh, that was it for the story?
Yeah, his wife's cousin.
Right.
Was telling the story.
Huh. So he actually got pulled out.
Yeah.
And that didn't freak him out enough to... I would have freaked me out. I mean, I guess he got up and left, but still,
he didn't. I mean, he was also hammered before he went to bed.
I guess so, yeah.
You could probably only drive so far.
Yeah, I guess you only get freaked out so much when you're that hammered, too.
Like, stop touching me.
You ever woke up with, like, scratches on you?
Yeah, all the time.
Yeah. Wonder if...
But I've also woke up from me scratching myself.
Well, there's that, too, yeah. Now, I remember my brother one time had three big scratches on his back when in the at night, and when he woke up in the morning. In a point where he didn't obviously do it himself. It's just, right. Just weird.
I also fell down the stairs the other night.
Yeah.
All of them. And then I woke up and I couldn't figure out why my hip hurt so bad.
Yeah, I wonder.
And then I found a hole in the stairwell.
Oh, nice.
From where my knee had gone through.
I kind of wish I had been here for that.
And then my wife asked if I dropped my phone down the stairs.
No, that
was me.
That's the sound of a tool shed falling down the stairs.
It was. All right. Last story for today's episode. And he has more here, and I'm saving him for other projects.
Okay.
The Min Min, which we're going to do a full episode on.
And this is Australia too, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Queensland.
Is this the same person?
Yes.
Okay.
And he sent tons, and he's going to get more from his native Australian family.
Oh, okay.
I'm saving the rest for others.
Okay.
The Min Min are traditionally been set up around outback Queensland as their home range to speak of. The mysterious lights appear at night, seeming to follow unwitting travelers along the dark, desolate highways of the Australian night. They are all over, though. Unlike the booger lights of the U.S., These lights are rarely or interact, often hanging a long way away. If you speed up, they speed up. If you slow down, they slow down. Some scientists believe that they have been found to appear during certain climate conditions, and there are a specific amount of atmospheric moisture near the ground which causes something of a magnifying effect, which apparently can cause light to bounce over the horizon. So you're actually seeing the reflection of more distance lights that look like they're following you, but just because you're moving relative to a fixed light position on the horizon or some physical-based gump. While it doesn't explain the staunch skeptics who openly mock his in-laws about their hokey superstitions and belief, he's right. Okay, he uses some colorful language. Was driving back one night from his home in Mullaburra, a trip that comprised of nothing but Malta scrubs and farmland out the windows. So this is just that open outback feeling.
Okay.
Have you ever seen the videos of people driving? I've told you about the highways where they have, like, the truckers camp on the side of the roads, these giant dirt roads to the outback.
I don't think so.
It is insane. Like, it's not like jungle or nothing like that. There are jungles in Australia.
It's the bush, right?
Yeah.
It's just
nothing. Desolate. There's nobody out there.
It's like desert and a tumbleweed.
So this guy was hooting along to his normal 130 kilometers per hour speed. The speed limit is 100 kilometers per hour.
Nice.
In that region. Between the bush towns of Onry in Mellabur. This home stretch, the last hour of the trip, alone on the road, the trucks have long pulled over the other road users were non-existent. So like I was saying, like the trucks, like they sleep out on these roads because there's nowhere.
On the side of the road?
Mm-hmm. Alone on the road, the trucks, like I said, have pulled over, the other travelers non-existent. He hasn't seen anyone for well over an hour when he notices a light's off to the side, seemingly to be paralleling him. But he's growing up here. There are no roads out there. Maybe the train, but the train line is to his left and the light is on his right. He slows down. Maybe it's the aerial speed detector helicopters. But it's too far away, and then they followed him. And then suddenly comes closer and closer until it's now speeding, barreling towards him. The Minmen cannons into the side of his Ford Ranger. The light fills the cabin, blinding him as the radio head on the unit, electrically oriented, charred and destroyed after taking the full brunt of the light. He only ever spoke of this night twice, once to his wife and once after we got a few drinks into him. It scared him so bad that he refused to ever discuss it again. So this light...
That's wild.
This light's paralleling him forever.
Yeah.
It slows down. It makes a 90-degree turn.
Right, at him.
At him. Barreling, speeding up. Slams into the side of his truck. The whole truck's full up. And the radio station on the top of the truck is charred and exploded.
Hmm. That's insane. Well, we know them from other stories, Minmen lights... It's not good when you see them.
No, a lot of the native Australians warn you heavily. Yeah. Don't follow them. Don't go near them.
Right.
Don't mess with them. They're not good.
You see them. Don't look at them.
And there's a lot of the fey lights and the floating orbs and, you know, Brown Mountain, not so much, but a lot of them warn you just not to, like, don't mess with them. They're not good things. They're lures.
Do not interact.
Now, this is a phenomena with a phenomena. So the electronics on the top of the truck were exploded and charred.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it screams the electricity of some kind.
Yeah, right.
I kind of wonder if, and now, nobody knows what this phenomena is either. It's just been witnessed. But ball lightning.
Mm-hmm.
And it's been recorded, I forget the name of it. We've talked about this several times. The only reason it's even accepted by the scientific community right now that it even exists is that one of the leading, like, scientists of lightning, I forget what the actual study's called, witnessed it one day while he was jogging.
Right, at like a stadium, right?
Yeah. And it looked like a person almost. And it was, you know, you could hear the static crackling around it.
I'm wondering, though, what if he saw something else, like another phenomena?
I think it was ball lightning. I think ball lightning is a phenomena. I think it may be these lights. It may be these things, and they're just putting a word to it. Okay. I don't think it's lightning. I don't think it's lightning in any way, shape, or form. I think it's just that what the science is describing the phenomena as.
Okay, gotcha.
Because it's so electrically charged.
Right.
It might as well be lightning.
Right.
But it holds a shape, like these balls of, you know, white or blue lights a lot of the times. And I kind of wonder, whatever, if it was intelligent, if it's not, you know, we talk about elementals a lot. And once it realized it was being watched, if they just react poorly to that.
Yeah, she just comes screaming right at you?
Yeah. Well, there's tons and tons of all kinds of paranormal entities that are like that.
Yeah.
Tons of ghost stories. I can't name all of them off the top of my head, but there's a lot of Japanese yokai that are like that. That, like, if you see them, they come for you.
Yeah, and it's scary.
So I don't know. That's the Min Min. Like I said, we'll do a full episode on that. It's very fascinating. What do you think of that story?
I think it's a wild, wild story. Not like unbelievable wild.
No, it's
like,
just...
That's like, that'd be very so intense. I don't know. I mean, I'm glad he's shared it with people, but...
Well, only twice. He only ever did it twice.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's a pretty impactful...
Yeah, absolutely. I don't even know how I'd react. I have no idea.
You know, he said barreling it, and I would love to talk to him just to see if the truck physically jolted.
Right.
Right, you know, it's barreling into him, you know, he's only shared it twice.
If he felt the whole truck shake, if it...
Yeah. But I wonder if it was attracted to electronics.
Him being the only vehicle out there?
Yeah. And the only thing moving.
That
the only
too,
thing with
yeah.
active power running.
Yeah.
So the lights and the radio were running and all that stuff.
Could draw it into it.
I wonder if it wasn't like, maybe it wasn't even under its own control. It may have been like a lightning rod.
It just automatically was drawn to that spot. Yeah.
Like whatever, you know, the electronical forces were pulling it there.
Like a magnet.
Yeah. So that could have happened. It could have been the elemental side of it. Whatever the Min Min are, they've been witnessed for tens of thousands of years.
I think they're related to the graboids from Tremors. Just going after cars, frying them, eating their motors.
Yeah.
Yep, it's just it's an offshoot. Basal, from some basal species.
Giant, what they say, Permian worms.
Permian, yeah.
Because they're tetrapods. I think they were tetrapods, but don't even exist anymore.
Oh, geez. I don't remember. I haven't seen those in so long.
The Tremors are good. They're
very good.
The last 18 Tremors movies aren't, you know, well, yeah, they progressively get not as good.
Right.
The Tremors 1 and 2 are pretty good.
Great movies, yeah, yeah. But I don't know. This story's wild. It's wild.
I love the Australian stuff.
Yeah.
There's so much of it, and it's so hard to get here in the U.S., the accurate stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So if anybody else from Australia, we have a good chunk of Australian listeners.
Yeah, if you got more stories.
Please send them in. If you know stuff about, like, if you live near or you have family or you are, you know, a native Australian or, you know some history, please send it in. Because there's just not enough of it in the U.S. to really, like, dig into.
No, it's not as talked about at all. Like
until he named those studies, I wouldn't have even known where to look. Everything you see says 40,000 years.
Yeah.
But the studies named, I look into them, and there are the ones that say, 80,000 years.
Hmm.
And it's just like the Native American stuff here.
Suppressed.
It is. And it's. I don't know if it's... I don't know the purpose, whether to control the narrative.
I'm sure it's not nefarious, though,
at all. Oh, yeah. It's nefarious, but is it in the fact that they just want to... Let's say build without worrying about it. I mean, you look at Rome and you look at England every time they dig something up and they're like, okay, well, we're at least not going to build this site for 18 months and we may never build this site again.
Stop.
Right. I mean, that happened it was in Italy.
Yeah.
The company got in a lot of trouble because they tried to hide the pots.
Right. Yep.
They discovered, and it was just pottery, you know, and it's an ancient, you know, it's not even that ancient of a site. But they got shut down for 18 months, and then they kept finding stuff, so they just never built on that site.
Ruins it.
But when you have all these cultures that live on top of each other, you're going to run into that stuff all the
right.
time.
Yeah, yeah.
So did they know that moving into North America and Australia, where we got to just pretend like this X date, right? There's nothing past X date, so stop digging.
Right, yeah.
We don't have to permit anything past, you know, it's because we're not deep enough for fossils, and we're not, you know, shallow enough for Native Americans or Native Australian stuff. So is it just that, or is it even more nefarious with, you know, writing a timeline and controlling us as a people?
I mean, it could be both, too.
It could be. I mean, it could be 100 things.
Like, you know, they realize, you know, you dig down so much, you're going to find stuff. Then all this building stuff. Now, any other future project, people are going to be aware that there could be stuff under there. So let's just draw the line here. No one digs past this point, and we're good. Just got to make sure all of our oligarch friends are on the same page. Quick, to the TVs for propaganda.
I don't even want to talk about the oligarchy.
Yeah, I know, right?
Just so everybody knows, we don't live in a democracy.
Nope, we live in an oligarchy.
Was it Stanford University that proved that?
Or Cornell?
It's one of the big ones.
Yeah.
That proved that we live in an oligarchy. It'd been stolen about 50 years ago.
I think further back than that.
Well, I think that's what they proved is.
Oh yeah.
They whatever that university was could show the switch.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, please guys, if you have more encounters you want to share, all that, we appreciate it. I love doing them. We have a backlog of them. So we should have a couple more episodes of this kind of stuff coming out. But anything else to add?
No, this is awesome. Thanks for sharing.
Thank you guys.
Anonymous, thank you, both of you.
Yeah. I have been the great and powerful Mystery.
And I've been JClone81.
And we'll catch you next week, guys.
Bye.
Hey, guys. Thank you for listening to Crypt of the Corn Podcast. Remember, the best way to support the show is share it with a friend. But if you are craving more of the J clones
and more from Mr. E,
there's always extra content on Patreon
and our paid member space on cryptidsofthecorn.com.
We'll catch you next time with more exciting, fun, and informative information.
Bye! Bye.
You've done it again, finance teams. You closed the books, and it went fine. Sure, some expenses were missing receipts, but that's fine. Stayed late to process invoices by hand. It's all fine. But don't you deserve better than fine? With Ramp, expenses are submitted with a text, invoices are coded automatically, and everything is connected to your accounting system, so you can close the books without all the busy work. Switch your business to ramp.com and love finance again. You've done it again, finance teams. You closed the books, and it went fine. Sure, some expenses were missing receipts, but that's fine. Stayed late to process invoices by hand. It's all fine. But don't you deserve better than fine? With Ramp, expenses are submitted with a text, invoices are coded automatically, and everything is connected to your accounting system, so you can close the books without all the busy work. Switch your business to ramp.com and love finance again.